Well, we are excited to have with us tonight Brian Kaiser. I'm kind of turning this a little bit. You're going to have your back kind of, but you're going to be moving around, right? All right. Well, if you'd come on up, let's give Brian a warm river welcome. Yes, it's good to have him here. We appreciate Brian and the work that God's doing in him, through him. And we just open up our hearts, Lord, to receive the gift that you've given him tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
God, I thank you for every person that's here. Thank you for friends and guests and ministers. Of course, we're all ministers of the gospel
that's
that have
right.
gathered tonight to hear the word of the Lord and to receive. Father, we thank you for the demonstration of your power tonight. In Jesus' name,
thank you, Lord.
Amen. Give the
amen.
Lord a shout of
hallelujah.
Praise.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Good. I think I got this one. Can everybody hear me pretty well? Amen. Let's all stand back up for just one moment. Let's all just put our hands out in front of us. I'm just going to kind of pray for a moment. Is that okay? Let's all put our hands out in front of us. Keep them there. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your glory, Lord. We thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you for the tangible kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you the kingdom is at hand. Kingdom is within us. Worship team pretty much sang my message, so maybe I'll just do ministry tonight. Lord, we thank you the kingdom of God is living within us. Stir us up. I don't have to pull any tricks. I don't have to work into anything. Kingdom of God's here right now. Come, Holy Spirit. You know, one of the parts of the kingdom of God is joy. Joy, 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 joy. Something Christians need to learn a little bit more about. Come, Holy Spirit. As I was standing there, my hand just started catching on fire. You know, Oral Roberts wouldn't walk out on the stage until he felt the fire of God on his hands. And I believe there's a generation coming alive right now. When I say generation, I mean from newborn babies to 120 years old. Amen? Come on, we're all called to be used of the Lord. It's going to burn with the power of God the same way. When we walk into Walmart, when we walk into McDonald's, the power of God's on us all the time. God wants to break out, not just Sunday mornings, but everywhere you go. You're all ministers of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, crying out from within us, be ye therefore reconciled to God. Come on, Jesus. Ooh, I better be careful. Woo, more Lord. I might need a catcher around me for a couple minutes. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for the fire of God. Come on, pray with me, church. So we thank you for the fire of God, Lord. We thank you for the renewal, God. We thank you for the river of fire and wine and glory, Lord. We thank you for the healing power of God breaking out in this room in Jesus' name. More, Lord. It got hot in here. More, Lord. I was cold when I came in. More, Lord. Fresh fire, Lord. Pour it out. Lord, we thank you for a miracle outbreak in this region in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for just messing up some religious people's hair tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, break out of our little broken religious boxes. They've never saved anybody before, so we just go ahead and get rid of those in Jesus' name. We thank you for a baptism of fire. There we go. More. Baptism of fire. Deuteronomy says that the name of one of the names of God, his name is Jealous, Jealousy. Revelation 1, Revelation 19, John saw those jealous eyes of love. Baptism of fire is receiving the jealous love of God that he wants all of you. He doesn't just want a little piece of you. He doesn't want just a moment or a Sunday morning or a Christmas or an Easter. He wants all of you all the time. And he's the true pleasure of your life. Lord, I just thank you for your love, Lord. Yeah, just soaker. Super soaker. Lord, we just thank you for more, Lord. There's just something on these three ladies up here, Lord. I just thank you for the new wine, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, in 1906, Lord, you tore down the racial barrier on a great level in America in the Azusa Revival, Lord, with some intercessor ladies, Lord, on the Bonnie Bray House, Lord. Do it again, God. Do it again, God. Why not here, Lord? Why not now? Why not Third Great Awakening starting in Elkhart, Indiana, Lord? I can't find any verses against it, so why not here? Why not now, Lord? Lord, do it again, God. Do it again, Lord. Start a revival in this city, Lord, in this region, Lord, that'll provoke other cities to jealousy, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we're done with our agendas, Lord. We're done with all of our systems, Lord. Lord, we need your presence, God. Good theology is great. It's really good. I like it. But we got to have your presence, Lord. We've got to have your presence, Lord. Fill your sons and your daughters with your glory. Fill your sons and your daughters with your glory, Lord. We thank you that the kingdom of God is here, Lord. We thank you the kingdom of God is available, Lord. It's present. It's real. It's not just a kingdom that we're waiting for, Lord. We believe and we say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. But, Lord, we want your kingdom to manifest right now. Because you said it would, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. We love you, Lord. Lord, as I share some things out of your word, Lord, I ask that it would be spirit and life, Lord, that you would just pierce hearts, God. Lord, don't let it be just good theology, Lord. Let it be revelation from your word, Lord. Lord, let it pierce our hearts, God, and lead to the greatest missions movement we've ever seen out of America, Lord. Let it lead to the awakening of the fivefold ministry in our nation, Lord. We want you, God. We're done playing games, Lord. We're done just fooling around. We ain't got time for all this foolishness I see out there anymore. We got this little teeny tiny life to live. It's just time. I'm just broken for nothing less than the kingdom breaking out. I'm just wrecked for it. So, Lord, we want you. We want you, God. We want you, Jesus. Oh, God, we want you, Lord. God, we repent, Lord, of lukewarm hearts, Lord. We repent, God, of our sin, Lord, of lust and brokenness, Lord, and shame, Lord, and hatred, Lord, and racism. God, we just repent right now in Jesus' name. Lord, on behalf of the church in America, God, we repent, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. We want to encounter you, God. All these other things, Lord, we just move them out of the way to know you and experience your love, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. How's everybody doing tonight? You can stay there if you want. There's more on the floor. I believe in sipping saints. Amen. Acts 2. What was the first thing the Christians were accused of? Being drunk on the Holy Ghost. You would really have to do a lot of weird behavior at 9 in the morning for people to think that you're drunk on the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things that we get accused of as Christians these days by the world and by the media and all these sorts of things, but being a bunch of drunks is normally not one of them. I think it's time we get biblical. I think it's time we carry the presence of God in such a strong way that people must think there's something wrong with us. But man, they're happy. Man, none of them get sick. And man, they change the world and turn cities and nations upside down. Guys, this is what I'm burning for. This is what I'm passionate about. This is my life message, is the transformation of culture, of cities and nations through the sons and the daughters of God. Amen? Come on, Jesus. So just a little bit about me. Who was here last time I was here? Almost a year ago now. Hallelujah. Good group. So a couple of updates. My life has kind of went crazy in the last year in a really, really good way, not a bad way. I decided to plant something called the Love Revival Ministry Center in Front Royal, Virginia in the last 6 months, last 4 months actually. I had a dream from the Lord, and then I signed a lease on a building to start a ministry 3 days later. I like to live life, you know, by the seat of my pants, right? We've got this short little life, man. Why would I waste my time just understanding everything and never taking some risk? It's time Christians start stepping out on the water. And if you mess up, you mess up. And I'll help you clean up your mess. I'm sure your pastors here will too, okay? It's time we start stepping out on the water and doing something for God instead of waiting to die or wait for the rapture, or wait for the tribulation, whichever one you want to come first tonight you get to pick. I don't really care. It's time we step out on the water and get after this thing. So anyway, I live in Front Royal, Virginia, and I lead the Love Revival Ministry Center. That's our first campus. We're planning a second one on New Year's Eve, which is just crazy, in another city nearby, and it's just wild what's going on. And if you want to keep up with me, find me at briankaiser.com or Love Revival TV on YouTube. It's got all my teachings on there, and miracle stories and healings and special guests and things like that. John and Carol Arnotto on a couple months back from the Toronto Revival, and that was just so powerful, just hearing how God has used them in such a profound way over the years, and hearing the storyline, and it just stoked me up all the more to just go after this thing. Amen. People ask me all the time, they say, Brian, what's the number one thing that God is doing in our nation? I hear from the Lord. I believe everybody's is called to hear from the Lord. I don't believe that I'm necessarily a prophet as of right now. I believe that's something the Lord's training me into. The number one thing the Lord's been speaking to me in this season is a revelation of the kingdom of God. That's why I joked around. Literally, the worship team sang my message tonight, which is awesome. They warmed you up for it. You know, this is such a controversial topic, but so important to the gospel. Jesus, I feel feisty tonight, so hold me back if I gotta rein me in. Jesus did not preach the gospel of salvation. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. You will not find a accept me into your heart so that you don't go to hell one day message from Jesus Christ. John 3, be ye born again so that you can see the kingdom of God. See, the westernized mindset is all about something in the future. It's all about later on. It's all about waiting for something to happen. But the Hebrew mindset in the first century was all about the here and the now, living it for God here and now. Not living like lavishly, and that's not what I'm talking about. But they had a focus on God interacting with humanity here, not just praying a prayer and getting out of hell one day and getting to go to heaven. Amen? Jesus said, be born again so that you can see the kingdom of God. He wasn't only talking about getting your passport stamped and your fire insurance so you can go to heaven one day, right? We've dumbed down the gospel to think that it's all about praying a prayer, living like hell right now, and then going to heaven a couple, you know, decades later. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that you would believe the gospel. Yes, get your fire insurance. You don't want to go there. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm all about that. But that you would believe the gospel, that the kingdom of God would come live on the inside of you, and that you would release the kingdom everywhere you go. You know, I've been studying this. I love politics. I won't get political tonight or anything like that. I don't do that from the pulpit. But I study politics. You know, everybody in the whole wide world understands that you can transform culture and society by the Seven Mountain Mandate, which I'm sure you all have been taught about here. Every single culture, every religion understands that except for Christians right now. We've been taught so much victimhood, you know, escapism mentality in our nation that we just pack people into stadiums, pray a prayer, and then see in the sweet by and by one day. The gospel of Jesus Christ is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven right now. Jesus in John 4 and John 7 said that when you believe the gospel, a river of life comes and lives on the inside of you, welling up to everlasting life. You know what Revelation 22:2 says? It says there's a river that flows forth from the throne of God, and the leaves of the trees that are by that river are for the healing of the nations. Guess where that river is currently trickling at right now? You can look at yourself in the mirror if you would like to find that river. There'll be a full manifestation of it one day, absolutely, in the kingdom of God, the return of Jesus. Hallelujah. But see, I'm not called to focus on those sorts of things. I can't do anything about that. All I can do is take dominion over the earth right here, right now. I hear people, I'm going to step on some toes right now. Help me, Jesus. I hear people focus about a temple being built in Jerusalem one day when there's people down the street that are dying and going to hell right now. I'm not against focusing on any of those sorts of things. That's your own business. That's none of my business, right? But here's what I do know. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Last time I checked, there's no command in the Bible for you to go move to Jerusalem and focus on rebuilding a third temple. Paul said, do you not know that you are the temple of God? We need to start focusing on our relationship with Jesus and the world around us. Understand that the kingdom is here. The kingdom is now. It's available in our lives. You know, recently, I didn't mean to. I don't like getting in trouble. I try not to as much as possible. But I was preaching in a church, and I didn't know the history of that, those two words, kingdom, now. I'm 25 years old. I know my revival history, but I sure don't know everything. And I said that phrase, and I got in trouble, because apparently there was a guy who taught some really bad things way back in the day. You know, the devil loves to pervert what God is actually doing. It's unfortunate, but there's times when you can look at what the devil is doing and realize what God actually wants to do in a redeemed way in our nation. Amen? See, we have a hunger for the supernatural that started about 100 years ago in our nation with the New Age movement. Da-da-da-da, look what God wants to do. The supernatural power of God through Jesus Christ is the only way. Amen? The devil loves to pervert things. He loves to try taking what is ours, because guess what? The devil's not a creator. Only God's a creator. That means the devil can't create new concepts and ideas. He just looks at what God wants to do and perverts it. And it's time the kingdom of God wakes up, realizes that it's available to us here, and take it out everywhere we go. Now, because of people teaching maybe bad theology and heresy about the kingdom of God and getting into weird perversion and whatever, I'm not even going there. Because people have perverted that message, then we think the kingdom is only something when we get to heaven one day, when that is not the clear teaching of the New Testament. Over and over, Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 7, all over. Repent, believe the gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. It doesn't mean at hand is like, oh, Jesus is coming back any waking moment, which he may be. It means the kingdom of God is at arm's length. It's touchable. It's interactable. It's here and it's available to us this very moment. Ephesians 1, you have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and you have been conveyed into the kingdom of his beloved son. You say, Brian, why are you harping on this? Why does this matter? How you see the kingdom of God will, everybody say will, dictate how you live this life right now. I met a Christian recently. God bless him. I love him with all my heart. But they are a part of a large denomination that I would say is quite lukewarm, if I have to be honest. And they said their greatest desire in life, because the kingdom is not here and it's not available right now, that's their view. They said their greatest desire in life is to die and go to heaven so they can see their loved ones right now. What a shame. Did you know that that's literally a vast majority of normal, everyday evangelical Christians' view of the kingdom? Pray a prayer to get into the kingdom of God. When Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My Bible still says in Romans 8 that all of creation is groaning and waiting for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. Guess what creation? When you see something bad go on in the economy, When you see a loved one get in a car accident that was untimely and wasn't the will of God, when you see someone get sick, guess what? Creation's going, will you wake up? Will you wake up to who God is and who you are in Him? If you see the kingdom distant and far away and not to be interacted with right now, then you will waste your life. I believe that with all of my heart. And at a bare minimum, you may not waste your life, but you will not walk in the power of God. You will have a victim mentality instead of an overcomer mentality. When Jesus filled us with the Holy Spirit, a little piece of the kingdom of God came and lived on the inside of us so that we would have dominion over all the works of the devil. 1 John says that Jesus came to do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Having a mentality that the kingdom is available will change the way that you do everyday life. Instead of going to work to get a paycheck, you'll go to work to advance the kingdom of God. When you see hard circumstances, instead of pushing it off and waiting for the return of Jesus, you'll say, the kingdom's available right now. I'm going to occupy until He comes. Amen? So if you got your Bibles, I want to go a couple quick places, and I want to share stories. Does anybody like stories? Good. You know, I have to say this everywhere I go. If I share cool stories with you, and you don't go out and do the same thing and greater than I'm doing, then I've wasted my time. As Dr. Jan said, you're all ministers of the gospel. Just because so-and-so has a title and you don't technically have a title or a piece of paper doesn't mean you're a minister. You're all ministers of the gospel. Amen? You're all called to release the kingdom of God everywhere you go. So when I share stories, when I share healing testimonies and prophetic encounters, I share those things a lot. My preaching is like drinking from a fire hydrant. You know, I encourage people, get the CD, get the DVD, whatever you got going on, if it's recorded, re-listen to it. I share a lot of Bible verse, story, Bible verse. I like to give you everything I got in my hour time, right, in these sorts of situations. So if I share a story, I don't want you to say, wow, we had a cool 25-year-old preacher come to our church today. That was really great. If that's all that happens, then I wasted my time. But if you leave here tonight and you say, wow, if God can use that guy, then He can definitely use me. Amen? Yeah. Then I'm successful. And then hopefully I get a phone call in a week, saying that you guys have all been raising people from the dead in the last week because you got so stoked up. Does that sound like a good plan tonight? So don't just hear something and be like, okay, that's a good word, Brian. No, be a doer of the word tonight. Amen? So let's go to Isaiah 9, verse 3. Isaiah 9, verse 3. This is such a popular passage this time of the year, but I hope to maybe shed some new light or at least some revelation on it tonight. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, and men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Have increased the nation. 1 Peter says that we have been created as a nation. Everybody say a nation. A nation of priests and kings to our Lord and our God. See, Colossians 2 says that the dividing wall between Gentile and Jew has been torn down by the gospel of Jesus Christ through the death, burial, and resurrection. See, the promise of Abraham was to the Jewish people that they would bring the blessing of Abraham upon all nations. Now, however you work with all that in your own theology, that's all fine. One thing I know is that that blessing is now also yours. That through us, a holy people, a holy nation, whether you're from Russia, whether you're from China, whether you're from wherever you're from, you are a part of this holy nation living here in Elkhart, Indiana. See, we don't understand this because we have such a natural mindset. The westernized mindset only focuses on the physical, natural realm. The Hebrew mindset didn't see a realm of the spirit up there and a natural realm down here. This is one of the greatest lies of westernized mindset and Western, even Calvinistic theology, that's gotten into our mindsets. We think heaven is up there, the earth is down here, this is physical, that's spiritual. There's a divide there. We'll go there one day. In the incarnation, Jesus was what? 100% man and 100% God. The physical and the natural realms came together as one. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you didn't become 1% supernatural and 99% physical. You then became 100% in the realm of heaven and 100% in the realm of the natural realm. Amen? But we've been so conditioned by the physical mindset that we think, oh, if I have a vision, then I'm getting a little bit more spiritual. No, the reality is of who you already are, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And my Bible says that I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, I believe that if we really understood how real and how present the kingdom of God was, instead of begrudgingly giving, we would run to the altars to give. Because it's as if we're literally doing it with heaven all around us. Amen? When Dr., you know, Janet asked somebody to scrub a toilet or serve or something like that, instead of, oh, I wish you'd give me the microphone, you know, it's like, yay, heaven is at hand, it's all around us. We would do family different, we would do food different, we would do evangelism different if we understood how interwoven this holy nation called the kingdom of God is within us. See, the Revival Center in Front Royal, that's something we're really focusing on. The kingdom is here. I mean, I am drilling it into these people. They're not used to, like, you know, the Christian International, charismatic type circles. I got a bunch of Presbyterians, Catholics, and Baptists, hallelujah. And I'm not, you know, tiptoeing around nothing. I'm pushing them in the river, and if they sink, you know, then that's their own business. I'll let their pastor be the lifeguard. Hallelujah. We do Monday nights. Oh, email your pastor about that one. And that's what I tell them. The kingdom's here. The kingdom's here. So when we're interacting with one another over coffee after the revival service, this is every much as beautiful and wonderful as what we're going to have in heaven one day if we have the eyes to see it, right? When we wash dishes, when we wash each other's feet in servanthood and evangelism and love people, if we understood that God is all around us, the kingdom is here with us, the angelic realm is around us, and we are literally advancing a kingdom, everything would change. Can you imagine, you know, a soldier showing up, like, you know, maybe during like the Kuwait war, you know, Iraq or Afghanistan. Can you imagine a soldier showing up and 12 hours later he forgets why he's there? Walks down the street wearing his gym shorts, you know, and like somewhere he should not go, you know. Totally forgets his mission, forgets what he's all about. Christians, we do the same thing. See, we understand that we've been sent here on a mission. You didn't get saved and God raptured you out of here. He must have left you here for something, amen. When I go into McDonald's, I understand I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, and I'm here to take dominion. Plain and simple. I don't play no games. When I go to Walmart, I'm part of the army of the Lord, sent to take dominion, and I'm there to take dominion and release the kingdom of God. I've seen more healings and salvations outside of the church than I have inside of the church. But we don't have the eyes to see it, so we don't interact with it and press in for the more. We allow cultural standards of what people say is okay and what's normal to dictate what our lives should look like instead of the Word of God. What's the standard of truth, cultural Christianity or the Word of God? If cultural Christianity says something is okay, but the Bible says it's not, who's right? Not culture. The Bible. This is the standard of truth. You know, this is a little bit off topic, but I'm going to go here. I want to change something in America. I got a lot of goals, guys. I got a lot of goals. People ask me all the time, why don't you wait till you're 40 to jump into ministry? Why don't you make a lot of money right now? You know, you went to school for an economics degree, you know, make some money, hang out for a decade. I got too much stuff to do, man. We got a kingdom to advance, amen? I've been saying this recently, you know, a lot of churches say they're Bible-believing Christians. It's an interesting statement for somebody to say that doesn't heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. I'm a Bible-believing Christian, too. I'm also a Bible-doing Christian on an everyday basis. If you say you're a Bible-believing Christian and you don't have a lot of stretchers and hospitals being emptied out everywhere you go, then you're not quite a Bible-believing Christian yet. We got to get real with ourselves, guys. Let me ask you this. You know, if I walked up to one of you and I said, "Hi, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ," you'd say, "Well, you're not a Christian, right?" You know? It's the same thing with this. Mark 16, those who come after me, they'll heal the sick, they'll raise the dead, they'll cast out devils, and they'll speak in new tongues. John 14, those who come after me will do greater works than these. I'm not saying if you don't heal the sick, raise the dead, you're not a Christian. I'm just saying you got to start acting like one a little bit more. It's who you are. It's living on the inside of you. I believe in the grace of God. I believe in believing the identity of who you are in Christ. You're literally a little teeny tiny Jesus walking around everywhere you go. You know that's why they call them that? Is Christ Christians? That means little Christ, little anointed ones. You're in union with Him. When you go into Walmart or the workplace or your family, guess who showed up? But if you believe that it's all for the future, it's all so far away, then you won't have the eyes to see the divine opportunities that God gives you in everyday life to release the kingdom of God. You want to hear a really practical, fun story that I love to tell? I do a decent amount of missions work. I've done some stuff in Nicaragua and Africa and Jamaica. And about a year ago, I was in Nicaragua. And we were doing a feeding in a very poor, poor village. I mean, this village was literally... they gathered this village, they built this village around the dump so that they could get their food literally from the dump. I mean, that's how poor this place was. And so we're there doing a feeding. Lord had just multiplied, probably tripled the food, you know, no big deal. Kind of cool. We had enough food for like 20 people and like 120 showed up and we had more than enough for everybody. So that was really cool. That's fun. And so anyway, we're doing this feeding and everything. And all of a sudden, this parade starts walking down the street. You know, they're beating drums, and there's all these, like, rich and famous-looking people in, like, an extreme impoverished area. And my translator, who had spent some time in America, so he kind of knew where I was coming from and that sort of thing, but he was from Nicaragua. I said, "What's going on, man? What's going on?" And he says, "Oh, man, one of the governors." Now, the governor's there. I mean, that's like... one of, I think there's 12 states there, I believe, something like that. That's like one of the top 12 leaders in the nation. That's like, you know, Department of Defense or like, you know, State Department. That's a high up position. He says, one of them, she's having her inauguration festival today. And as soon as he says that, I looked at him, before I could even think about it, I said, "I'm going to meet her and I'm going to preach at her inauguration festival." And he looks at me, he says, "Loco gringo," which means crazy white guy. Amen. They call me Loco grande gringo, which means crazy big white guy. They know that's kind of what I go after there. And he says, "No, you're not. Look, see all those people with AK-47s all around her? She's friends with the president. You step anywhere near her, and you're going to get lit up." And I was like, "You just watch. I'm going to meet her, and I'm going to preach at her festival." He's like, "You're crazy, crazy, crazy." So whatever. So anyway, we're standing there, and all of a sudden, the woman is walking down the street. We had moved, and I didn't even know which one was her, actually, because she had a bunch of different people around her. She sees me and takes off running right towards me, and I don't know any Spanish. I know Dios, gringo, Aleluya. I mean, that's like the only Spanish I know. And she comes running up to me just like speaking Spanish like super, super fast. And I'm like, "Dude, what is going on?" And at first I was like, "Who is this?" And he goes, "That's the governor." And I was like, "Told ya." And the Lord, then I hear the Lord, like internal audible voice of God. I said, "Tell her I want to speak at her inauguration festival." And I was like, "I can't say that. Like, what is wrong with me?" And I was like, "Okay." So I said it to him. And he looks at me, he goes, "No, I'm not saying that to her." I said, "Say it. The Lord says so." And he's like, "Okay." Like, he thinks he's about to get in trouble too. You know, they'll lock you up down there. They don't care. You don't need a jury for that. They'll just lock you up and leave you in prison. And so he looks over at her and he says, you know, can my friend here speak at your inauguration festival? She goes, see, yes, absolutely. You know, absolutely is what she's saying. And so literally me and her walk down the street with thousands of people around us, arm in arm with like AK-47s all around us. She's like kissing me on the cheek. I don't know if she was hitting on me or not. I don't really care. And we're walking down the street and like arm in arm. And she's like, you know, you would have thought I was like the president of the country. Like, I still don't know why. There's literally no reason in the natural that should have happened. Like, there's no reason. It makes no sense. So we get down to the end of the street and there is literally hundreds, if not thousands of people standing there waiting for her to show up. And they give her the microphone to give her speech. And she literally gets the microphone, grande gringo, you know, gives the microphone right to me. Gave me no instructions of what to do, so I preached the gospel. Why not? She gave me the microphone. I preached the gospel right there on the spot. And I said, if you need a miracle in your body, I want you to put your hand where you need a miracle. I didn't have time to lay hands on everybody. We got to do the express lane, amen. And I said, if you need a miracle in your body, put your hand where you need a healing. And I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And right there on the spot, dozens of people got healed right there. One of her bodyguards had like cancer or something. Got healed, has an AK-47 while I'm talking to him. And he gets saved right there on the spot. And I get to pray for the government, governor and all these leaders and get an open door in the government there. Come on, Jesus. See, if we look at every situation... every situation that way and say, God, I'm nothing special, but I do have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. So I'm going to step out and I'm going to believe for big things. Man, I haven't even gotten through two Bible verses yet. Help me, Jesus. All right, verse 4. You have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder. He used to have burdens before Jesus, me and you. And he's broken the backs of those burdens. Jesus didn't just forgive your sin, he removed your sin. Hebrews says that you've received the remission of sins, not just the forgiveness of sins. I love what Georgian Banoff says. He says, if you're waiting for death to set you free from sin, death is your savior, not Jesus. Ooh. Do you know you can be set free from sin right now? We've got this victimhood mentality. Sin's going to crush me and oh, wretched sinner that I am. Romans 7, where Paul said that, he was talking about the old man. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been co-crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Romans 12, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Again, if we had the eyes to see and the faith to believe, Christians would walk a whole lot less sinful, a lot more joyful, and a lot more power. Amen? But this right here is the only open heaven that you've ever had in your life. Amen? When you gave your heart to Jesus, you don't have a closed heaven. That doesn't exist in the life of the believer. The only closed heaven is right here. It's all about your belief system. For you've broken the burden... warrior saint, let's go down to verse 6 right here. For unto us a child is born. I want you to listen in real close here. Unto us a son is given. The government will be not left upon his shoulder. Y'all paying attention? Government will be put upon his shoulder. What government? All of the governments of the world. When that baby, Jesus, was born in that manger... the idea, the concept was that he would grow and that he would put a little piece of himself in every single one of you. And then in Matthew 28, he said, go ye therefore, making disciples of all of the nations. You know, it's funny how people will misquote the Bible. I've heard people say, let's go make some disciples in some nations. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says, make disciples of the nations. Are you asking God for nations right now? Psalm 2, ask me of the nations, and I will give them to you for your inheritance. If nothing else, start asking God for your neighborhood. That's a great place to start. See, if we believed it, our lives would look different. People ask me sometimes, I'll be blunt honest with you. I live a crazy lifestyle, man. I never sleep in my own bed. I'm always traveling. I'm getting up early, prayer room hours, planting churches. I do some crazy stuff, and I don't even suggest you doing all of it. Why do I do that? Because the kingdom's here. The kingdom's available. There's a burning in my heart that this thing would actually look like on earth as it is in heaven. I really believe it. It's not just a theological concept anymore. It's a reality in my everyday life that I can't help but to do something about. You know, the disciples, Jesus said, what are you going to leave me to? And they said, no, Jesus, you alone have the words of life. Where else are we going to go? When you experience the reality of the kingdom of God in your life, you're wrecked, man. You can't live any other way. You've got to live it in the kingdom of God. Not just the church, not just Sunday mornings, not just normal Christianity, but living it in the full manifestation of the kingdom of God on everyday life. Amen? And the government will be upon his shoulder. I'm believing America will be upon the shoulders of Jesus once again. That's my goal. Come on, that's got to get somebody excited. I should have gotten a clap or something out of that one. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, this is going to stretch some people right now. Where did that kingdom start? When the baby was born in the manger. It's not a kingdom that starts in the millennium, okay? It'll be consummated in that time. That's all good and that's fine. You can do whatever you want with that. But when little, you know, humble baby Jesus was born in that manger, he showed up with his kingdom there on the face of the earth. There's nothing else that you can do. You got to do theological gymnastics, as I like to call it, to make this passage say anything else. Of the increase of his government's peace, there shall be no end. When did that time start of the never-ending kingdom of God? When the baby was born in a manger. See, the problem is we take our theology and our Bible prophecy from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News instead of the Bible. We see things getting bad. We see doom and gloom instead of seeing what God is doing and blessing that. It doesn't take any faith to read watch the 5 o'clock news and get a prophetic word and put it up on Elijah list. Come on. It takes some faith to see through the eyes of Jesus what God is doing and start blessing that and go after what God is doing in our nation. Amen. My Bible says that the seed went into the ground, the kingdom seed, and it grows up, and it will grow into the biggest tree on the face of the earth. That was Jesus. But if we don't believe it, we won't interact with it. We won't be a part of it. And of the increase of his government peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward. What time forward? Baby Jesus was born. Amen. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord hosts will perform it. Let's go to Matthew 13. I want to run through some Bible passages, and then I want to jump on into ministry time. Is that okay? Amen. Matthew 13, parable of the mustard seed. Another parable, Matthew 13, verse 31. Another parable he put forth them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. When it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and find nest in its branches. Isaiah says that there was nothing, you know, physically necessarily, you know, attractive about Jesus, right? It wasn't like he showed up in a massive mansion, in a palace somewhere, as the best-looking guy on the whole wide world. That's what's going on here. Jesus said if a seed doesn't go into the ground and die, it cannot produce a tree. It can't produce many seeds. We think Jesus died and then reserved his kingdom for 2,000 years later and counting. Jesus died to plant the kingdom seed and that you would interact with it and be a part of it right here, right now. You know, we can look through the eyes of doubt and say, oh, things are bad, and and this and that and homosexuality and drugs and transgenderism and all those. Yeah, those are really bad things and pretty depressing if you don't see through the eyes of faith. But see, the eyes of faith says that one man, the God-man Jesus, died and was resurrected 2,000 years ago. And now there's over 1 billion people in the kingdom of God on the face of the earth right now. Do you know there's over 1 billion people on the face of the earth that say that Jesus is Lord? That's a pretty big kingdom we've grown into, amen? Do you know that right now the born-again rate is faster than the birth rate in the entire world right now? At this rate right now, all of the world will be born again by, I believe it's like 2075. You won't hear that reported on CNN anytime soon. You know what I find to be even cooler news than that? The spirit-filled rate is faster than the born-again rate. For every 1 person that gets born again, 2 Christians are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? But you know, I went to Liberty University. That's the biggest Christian and Baptist school in the whole wide world. And even they admit that from 1906 on, this is the age of the charismata. This is the age of Pentecostal, charismatic, spirit-filled Christianity. You know, they have times that they separate church history, the dark ages and different things like that and whatever. Even conservative, anti-charismatic believers know the last 100 years, God is up to something new, up to something fresh. And His kingdom is advancing right here, right now. It's time we go after this thing and believe God for what He's truly doing. Kingdom of Heaven is like a mustard seed. It goes into the ground, but when it is fully grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree. So the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Notice it didn't say it becomes the best tree. It compares the kingdoms of the world as little teeny tiny herbs. Look at the faith of the kingdom of God and what it can impart into your lifestyle. That literally we see Islam as just a little teeny tiny plant in comparison to the kingdom tree that's about to break into the whole entire earth. Amen? When I was in South Africa, I was in a neighborhood called Bokop. It's a Muslim region that's radical Islamic Muslims. I saw signs there. It's a death to Israel, you know. Death to the Jews. I mean, it was a no-joke place. I mean, this is the kind of place you could definitely get stabbed. I had a guy pull a machete on me. No big deal. But anyway, you know, what I love about other countries, you can just speak in tongues as loud as you want. And everybody thinks that you're just from another country. They don't know that you're speaking in tongues, you know. And so I'll be walking through the airport, you know, just screaming in tongues. You know, I'll act like I'm on the phone, but I'm not. I'm praying. And, you know, I'm different. It's okay. I own it. And I look on my GPS. Me and my friend Ben, we were in South Africa, and we were going to the mosque, and we were literally going in the mosque. I had a big beard at the time, so, you know, I kind of fit the part maybe just a little bit, you know. And we were going to the mosque praying to Jesus, crying out for revival. And there was a man sitting right in front of the, one of the mosque, and he had been asking Allah to heal him. And again, this is a dangerous thing. This is no joke stuff. This ain't just going in 7-Eleven. You know, this is like you could literally get killed. Again, I had a guy pull a machete on me. And this guy literally had a blind eye and he was lame in one leg. And I said, Allah cannot hear you. He is never existed. But Jesus wants to heal you right now. I said, will you let me lay my hand on your eye? Guy's eye pops open right there on the spot and his lame leg begins to move. Gets healed, gets saved right there on the spot. Kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God. If every Christian was healed, look, I've made even a mathematical equation about it. Check this out. I think it's like 30 million like professing born-again Christians in America. If each one of us saw 1 healing a week and 2 salvations a year, we would go up to, what would that be? You know, we would explode in church attendance. Divorce rates would plummet. Bars would shut down. Pornography stores would go out of business. Guys, this thing's not that complicated. It's not that hard. Problem right now is we've got people that are going crazy to advance the kingdom of God, and we got a lot of people that aren't doing much of anything. It's time we start taking inventory and we start going for it. Don't feel condemned. Feel empowered to be an overcomer. Amen? Prophecy is still true. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. Amen? Matthew 13, good stuff. Let's go to Luke 17. I want you to see this in the Bible, in the Word of God. And look, I know the elephant in the room sometimes with this topic. People say, well, you know, what about things getting worse? What about whatever? You're going to have to wrestle with that yourself. Plain and simple. People have a lot of ideas about end times. I'm somebody, I have my own ideas. It's not something I publicly talk about very much. What I believe is that our job as the church is not to focus on the darkness. No matter what you believe about how bad or how good it's going to be, your job is to take dominion. Amen? I always tell people, I don't care what eschatology you hold. We can talk about that over a cup of coffee later. As long as it's victorious. When I was pastoring in Roanoke, Virginia, we had partial preterist. If you're familiar with that view, we had post-millennial, amillennial, premillennial, pan-millennial, which means it'll all pan out anyway. You know, we had post-trib, we had mid-trib. Pastors on staff, we had those views. All of them different, diverse views. And I said, look, you can be on staff, you can be a full-time paid pastor here if your view is victorious. We don't have to have it all figured out. We do have to be victorious. Can we all agree upon that? That's the most important thing. Amen? Luke 17, verse 21. Let's go up to verse 20, actually, just get a little context. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Now, let me stop right there. What's going on here? See, the Pharisees had the same idea about the kingdom of God that a lot of religious folks have about it today. They were expecting a political insurrection for Jesus to come up with a sword. You know, the guy who taught turn the other cheek, you know. He expected him to show up one day, like, with a sword and just start, like, stabbing the Romans and, like, you know, just tearing it all down and releasing the kingdom of God in their view, right? We have a very similar view. We think that the kingdom of God's only going to show up with the return of Jesus. No, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God, it's a spiritual kingdom, which doesn't mean it's a lesser reality. It means it's still real. It's available to you right now. The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. Everybody say that. The kingdom of God is within me. That's what Jesus taught. The kingdom of God is within you right now. Acts 2, the kingdom of God was released in the believer, in the life of the believer. John 20, verse 22, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you now, but He will be in you. And He breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed upon them, releasing that grace. And then in Acts 2, they were filled with the presence of God, the power of the kingdom of God. Romans says the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. What? In the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has all the fullness of the kingdom of God living on the inside of Himself, and He lives on the inside of you. See, the idea that I like to get here, you know, the Bible says that we're ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for the kingdom of God. I didn't know this actually until recently, but, you know, like, let's say China, let's say they have an embassy here in America. They own that land right there, wherever that's at in Washington, D.C. If you attack that embassy, you just literally attack China while being inside of America. In the same way, you are the embassy of the kingdom of God everywhere you go. You have the full resources of the military, all the finances, all the authority, all the dominion from that as an ambassador everywhere you go. Ephesians 1 says that He's put all principalities and powers under His feet and given all things to the church who fills all things all in all. I love what I think it was Lester Summerall. You guys would probably probably know, or maybe it was Smith Wigglesworth said, without God, I can't, and without me, he won't. This kingdom's not going to advance all on its own. It's going to take our cooperation. Amen? Let's go to Haggai 2, and this is where I'm going to close out and move on into some healing and just kind of see where things go. I want to preach on the secret place tomorrow. Does anybody like the secret place? The kingdom message, the authority message, is completely perverted without understanding intimacy with God. You know, there's a lot of people out there that have understood the kingdom of God without love, and it becomes control and manipulation. And I'm not about that. But we understand that God wants to bring dominion for the sake of love, that the righteous judge is in love with you, then we properly understand what God wants to do on the face of the earth. Amen? I always tell people, I don't have any technical training. I didn't go to seminary. That's okay. It's nothing wrong with that. I don't have any of that. I got everything that I have with my Bible, a cup of coffee, and a prayer closet. Amen? Coffee is the prayer, is the fuel for revival. Hallelujah. I am highly caffeinated today. Thank you, Jesus. Little random side note, I had the best cup of coffee I've ever had in my life today. Thank you, Jesus. I stopped in a shop in Ohio. Man, it was amazing. Thank you, Lord. You got to appreciate those things. I could praise break for that. Haggai 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Who is that? Jesus. And I will fill this temple. What temple? You, this temple. And I will fill this temple, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord. The glory of the latter temple. Who's the latter temple? You and me. There may be another one coming down the pike. That's great. That's awesome. But you're responsible for the temple that's sitting in your chair right now. 2 Corinthians 5 says that the temple is you. There was a prophecy in the Old Testament. I think it's in Leviticus that God would walk with man once again. And Paul said that's fulfilled in you. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Let's all stand up. You're the temple that everybody's been waiting for. When you get consumed by the presence of God, when you get possessed by God, when you yield to God, like that verse says, they will be drawn to the desire of the nations. You're not the desire of the nations, but Jesus Christ in you is. When we start focusing, when we get inebriated by His love, when we get possessed by His love, yielding to Holy Spirit, He fills His temples with glory. He fills us with His joy, fills us with His peace, and releases the manifest kingdom of God within us. When you get possessed by God, when you yield to Holy Spirit, when you get baptized and consumed by Holy Spirit, people can't help but to be drawn to the desire of all nations. Just like that woman in Nicaragua, she didn't know anything about me. She was drawn to Jesus within me. She was drawn to a secret place lifestyle. She was drawn to something I'm doing in relationship with God. I don't know about you, but I want more of that. You know, everybody, this is a random side note, but you know, St. Patrick, everybody knows two things about St. Patrick, that he was Catholic and Irish. It's not true. He was not Catholic and he was British. He understood this concept. He walked up to the pagan king of the day. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Let me in. And the king said, no, you let me in here. I hear about what you do. St. Patrick, you know what he was famous for? He raised 33 people from the dead. He wasn't the guy who chased the snakes out of Ireland. He chased the demons out of Ireland. He was a kingdom mover and shaker. Raised 33 people from the dead. King said, no, I'm not going to let you into here. Patrick said, by, you know, the power of God, you will let me in here. He took some anointing oil, made the sign of the cross on the gate, and steel gate. Steel gate exploded and fell backwards. He went inside, and every single one of the king and all of his family and everybody got born again right there on the spot. The man literally turned a nation upside down, converted a nation almost single-handedly. God wants to release a generation of people to do that sort of thing. Evan Roberts was 26 years old when the Welsh revival broke out. Literally hundreds of thousands of people got saved. Poverty rates, divorce rates, crime rates plummeted. The news would say, no bad news for tonight, only good news. Time to do it again. Do it again, God. Do it again, God. Do it again, God. We don't have any other choice, Lord. We're boxed in, Lord. No political party is going to turn this thing around, Lord. It's do or die. It's revival or bust. Lord, we want it, God. We want it. So if you just want more of God tonight, I want to invite you to start over there, to come forward. But that's not going to hold everybody, so just pile around here if that's okay. I just want to stir around and pray for people. Come on up.